Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The U.S. trade deficit in January dropped. The Commerce Department today says the deficit fell 8.3% to $41.8 billion in January, down from $45.6 billion in December. The shrinking trade gap reflected a drop in exports, which fell $5.6 billion to $189.4 billion. Imports fell $9.4 billion to $231.1 billion. Much of the dip in imports likely came from lower oil prices and a labor dispute that disrupted shipping at West Coast ports. At the same time, the strong dollar that has made American-made goods less affordable abroad is weighing down exports. A strain of bird flu that's deadly to poultry has been found in a Minnesota commercial turkey flock, but the risk to humans is low. It's the same highly pathogenic H5N2 strain of bird flu that's been confirmed in backyard and wild birds in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. The virus has devastated a flock of 15,000 turkeys in western Minnesota's Pope County. Fewer than 100 were still alive by Thursday. Minnesota is the nation's top turkey producer. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, well, we don't have that number, but the NASDAQ's 4443, it's down 6 points. The S&P 500 is trading 2,092, and it is down 7.75 points. And then for the Dow Jones, it's 1804, and it is down 92 points. Joining us to talk about agricultural weather now is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Dry weather will likely occur across a big part of the Midwest over the next 5 to 7 days, and that will be quite helpful for the areas in the south that are dealing with surplus moisture and a problem with flooding. We will expect, though, another storm system to sneak into the region by the end of next week and continue into the following weekend. Early indications suggest the storm system may be large in size, but I have to be honest with you, I think there's a fair chance that the system will be weaker once we get towards that period of time. The weather pattern across the U.S. and Canada, for that matter, too, is very stagnant right now. It looks as though most of the western parts of North America will stay in a dry weather-biased pattern, especially western U.S., California, portions of the Intermountain West, the Rocky Mountain region, even parts of the Pacific Northwest, will all see a very limited amount of precipitation over the next week to 10 days. High pressure will dominate those areas, and that dryness will continue across the Rocky Mountains and into the northern and west central parts of the U.S. plains, including a fair amount of hard red winter wheat country and all of the spring wheat areas in uppermost parts of the Midwest. So that's a large amount of real estate that's not going to be seeing much precipitation, and it's not just a one-week deal. It might be 10 days or more. But the northern Midwest and northern central Midwest will likely see a lot of drying conditions as well. The difference between the east and the west is going to be the temperatures. We do expect to see most of the Midwest continuing a little bit cooler bias, especially east of the Mississippi River, as we move out through this next 10 days to 2 weeks. And the temperatures, though, will still manage to warm up. They're just not going to be quite warm enough to get some aggressive drying to occur across the eastern parts of the Midwest. Our temperature forecast for a big part of the region is going to certainly be warmer than it's been, and no doubt, and we'll expect the afternoon highs across a big part of the Midwest today to run mostly in the range of 20s and 30s, We'll have some 40s and perhaps some temperatures over 50 degrees in the southwestern Corn Belt. This will be mostly in places like Nebraska, Kansas, and western portions of Missouri. There will even be a small part of southwestern Iowa that will also experience some of this warmer, biased conditions. And that will stay out that way most of the weekend and expand eastward across the middle and lower parts of the Midwest over time. Saturday's highs will be 30s and 40s in northern portions of the Midwest, while 40s are common in the south and still some 50s to near 60-degree readings in the southwest. As we move on into Sunday and Monday, though, a reinforcing shot of cool air will slip into parts of the northern and eastern Midwest and push temperatures back mostly into the 30s and 40s, but there will still be a potential for a few 50-degree readings near the Ohio River. And we'll be stuck in that mode on Tuesday of next week, and then maybe another reinforcing shot of cool air coming in later next week. The lowest temperatures at night, though, will certainly be a far cry from where they've been. We'll be looking at a lot of temperatures in the 20s and 30s as we move forward through this next 5-day period in the lower parts of the Midwest. Northern areas will see teens and 20s occurring mostly. And it looks like in South America, Argentina will be in a net drying mode for a big part of the next week to 10 days. And that's important because it is a little too wet across the heart of corn and soybean country there, and the drier bias is going to help to induce a much better environment for crop filling and maturation. And in Brazil, just the opposite will be the case. It will rain frequently. The precipitation will raise some concern about delays in field work and maybe even some quality declines. But I have to say that most of those will just simply be worries, and the bottom line is that the crops will come through the wet period in mostly good shape. Field work will improve as we get beyond mid-month and drier weather returns to some of these wet center west and center south crop areas. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy, proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
If you don't have your ticket for the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting but want to go, I'll make a deal with you. If you call this number this morning, 217-333-7300, call before lunch this morning at that phone number and order your ticket. I will bring them with me on Tuesday morning next week and leave them right there at the desk, and you can just pick it up right there at the desk and walk right in. 217-333-7300. Ticket price, $25. Full day of activities. You know the drill by now. Full beef house lunch, continental beef house breakfast, a WASDE day report, and all that analysis only for $25. 217-333-7300, and I will bring you your ticket. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Market's down a little bit today, modestly down. And I suppose that you could say the market is actually hanging in with December at 409 and three quarters, down 4 1/4, and then the Novi beans at 963 and a half, down 2 1/2, given what we're seeing with the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, we had the jobs report out this morning, positive from the job standpoint, and the dollar's really just been screaming higher here this morning, making some new highs for the move. And the question becomes, is this, you know, a next move, a next leg higher? I think it's kind of where the trade's at. But it's definitely affected most of the commodities from the standpoint of to the weaker side here. We've seen gold take a pretty good hit down, and I think the crude oil was down earlier. Yeah, it's still down. So I think, the grains are hanging in there fairly decent. If you look on the week, the beans have been the one the beans and wheat have been hit pretty hard. The thing that kind of bothered me a little bit about the wheat yesterday was we had open interest up like 10,000 contracts yesterday on a pretty good move down on the wheat market, and that tells you that there's new shorts coming into the market probably. So that's kind of interesting from the standpoint of, you know, what you're seeing the funds maybe come in and take some new short positions. Corn trying to hold in there, I think, and I think fundamentally it still has some pretty good support, but it's seems to be satisfied just trading in the range here.
Soybeans, though, that is the one that you have to begin to wonder about and how much lower it could go. And that NOV 962, now down 4, lost quite a bit of value this week. We're not past 50% harvest in South America yet. There's a lot of beans going to be planted here in the U.S. Next week's WASDE is going to show somewhere around 380-ish millions of ending stocks. I would think that you could test the lows for the marketplace.
Yeah, and I guess I think that we kind of had a reprieve there when we had the trucker strike, and the market reacted to that as strongly as it did. I think part of that was because the market was just so oversold at that point. So when we get down here into this area that we seem to be headed into, and like you were saying on the November beans, going down in that 950 area or so, I think that's going to be the test to see whether we can hold there or whether we take it on through. I don't think the jury's in on that yet. I think I would probably guess we're going to see some decent support there, but I don't know that we're not going to keep testing it at this point.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, Maycorn, 385.5 down 5. December, 409.5 down 4.5. May beans, 981.5 down 4. November, 962.5 down 3.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.